This is Radio Superior 1959, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music from the 1950s. This is a true story of our past. So step back with us to another time. We bring you now inside the KUWS radio studios and the Tim Michaels Dance Party.
I'll turn around, baby. Let's go once more.
Come on in, campers. We're going to be rocking and we're going to be rolling around the campfire tonight. Tim Michaels here with the rocking, and you're going to be doing the rolling. Lou Martin has the 6 o'clock news, Rapid Ray the sports, and the latest about Green Bay getting a new head coach, a fellow named Vince Lombardi. Sounds mean to me. And I'm 30 hours into my going without sleep marathon. I'm shooting for 125 hours without putting my head on a pillow.
You know, that's 5 days without sleep.
That makes it sound stupid instead of cool. The people paying the light bill for the 6 o'clock news is Roth's Department Store with new jet-age portable TVs. That's right. They're only as big as a suitcase, and you can get one for as low as $139.95. Lou, it's all yours, Daddy-o.
The race to space and intercontinental missiles gets a congressional hearing today. Integration of schools in Virginia is tense, while a sweeping civil rights bill is introduced. We begin our world report from Washington.
This is Jack Bell reporting from the U.S. Senate. Secretary of Defense Neil McElroy testified today there are no serious gaps in the nation's defense, but range has been sacrificed in order to push the Polaris missile program. The defense secretary also upheld the administration decision to cancel production of the Regulus II and Spark cruise missiles on the grounds that they had been overtaken by scientific advances. McElroy was the first witness at the Senate hearings to determine where the United States stands in defense, missiles, and space in comparison with the Soviet Union. Democratic leader Lyndon B. Johnson of Texas is presiding. He told McElroy and Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Nathan F. Twining that the investigators, quote, want the facts with the bark off, if you please, unquote. McElroy says four things are necessary before an intercontinental ballistic missile can be put into operation. The missiles, trained crews, launching bases, and logistics to support the bases. Johnson says his group wants to find out, quote, first, is the United States doing everything it should do to ensure the defense of this country and the free world against military aggression? Second, is the United States doing everything it should do in exploration of outer space, unquote. In Washington, this is Jack Bell.
This is Sacramento, California. Alfred M. Schock reporting. America is mass-producing one of its most reliable missiles in a form so simple that crews can fire them in volleys on 15 minutes' notice, even from mobile bases. The missile is the Thor, a combat-ready weapon that also is a workhorse in space research. It can carry a nuclear warhead known as the County Buster and is located at bases in this country and abroad. But because of its limited 1,500-mile range, the future of the Thor is uncertain. This picture emerged today after the first press tour of the Thor production and testing facility here. We saw a demonstration that a hangared Thor can be ready to launch 15 minutes after the order to fire. In Sacramento, this is Alfred M. Schock.
This is Richard C. Burgholz in Richmond, Virginia. Virginia's legislature is expected to indicate today whether it agrees with Governor J. Lindsey Almond that the state is legally powerless to prevent school integration regarded as imminent in three communities. Almond said at the Emergency General Assembly session that he knew of nothing he could do to avert token integration. Six closed schools in Norfolk may reopen on Monday. Arlington's been ordered to admit four Negroes Monday to a white junior high school, and Charlottesville is also proceeding with plans to reopen its two schools closed in the integration dispute. A group of Southside legislators whose districts have heavy Negro populations might reach a decision today on whether to attempt to go further than Governor Almond proposed. They say a resolution is being studied which might deter any integration. Almond says Virginia is at the end of the legal line in trying to preserve its segregated school systems, but pledged to continue the fight he has waged against mixing of the races and to minimize integration in the future. He says the state has not surrendered and, quote, does not surrender now, unquote. In Richmond, this is Richard C. Burgholz.
This is Washington. Lyle C. Wilson, United Press. Illinois Democrat Paul Douglas and 14 other senators joined today to introduce a sweeping civil rights bill aimed at ensuring racially integrated schooling. The measure is the same bill Douglas sponsored without success in the last session of Congress. It would authorize $200 million of federal funds for a five-year program of grants to speed integration. Douglas led a campaign this year to cut from 65 to 50 the number of senatorial votes required to choke off a filibuster, a method Southerners have frequently used to kill civil rights legislation. Under the bill, funds would be available to communities that wish to comply with the Supreme Court's school integration order in cases where, as in Georgia and Virginia, the state threatens to cut off money or close the schools. In Washington, this is Lyle C. Wilson.
This is Drew Pearson with the Washington Merry-Go-Round. Three Soviet freighters loaded with arms are steaming up the Persian Gulf toward the only port of Iraq that touches the sea. Ominous evidence that the oil-rich country is slipping behind the Iron Curtain. American intelligence is carefully following the progress of the three Soviet ships. They carry the first communist arms to Iraq, which hitherto has relied on Western arms and until last summer was a member of the Baghdad Pact. More than 200 Soviet military advisors have also arrived in Baghdad to help the Iraqi army to convert from British to Russian equipment. Yet, when only 9 American military advisors were stationed in Baghdad, Radio Moscow accused the former Iraqi government of being an American puppet. With the Washington merry-go-round, this is Drew Pearson.
This is the nation's capital, Hightower here. President Eisenhower announced plans today for a Food for Peace drive, aimed to turn farm surpluses into a major new weapon for the free world's arsenal. The Food for Peace plan came up in Eisenhower's efforts to find new outlets for farmers. Quoting the president, "In these efforts, there is an immediate and direct bearing on the cause of world peace. Food can be a powerful instrument for all the free world in building a durable peace. I am setting steps in motion to explore anew with other surplus-producing nations all practical means of utilizing agriculture surpluses of each in the interest of reinforcing peace and the well-being of friendly people throughout the world." In Washington, this is John Hightower.
A member of the court-appointed Board of Monitors for the Teamsters Union testified today that he doubts that the Kennedy labor bill would meet the abuses in that union. New York Attorney Jeffrey P. Schmidt says the bill has many merits, but also important lacks. Massachusetts Senator John F. Kennedy introduced his anti-racketeering bill last week. He believes it would put Teamsters President James Hoffa out of business. KUWS Radio News time is 6:08. Tim Michaels has this message from Ross Department Store.
You know, Ross has an all-new RCA Victor new jet-age portable TV. That's right. Introduces transformer power chassis, has tube-saving power resistors, printed circuits for greater durability, and it's only $139.95. Go on in, check it out, plus other models that they've got. And if you like living stereo, they've got the most startling sound your ears have ever heard. They've got the Mark 6 Stereo Orthophonic High Fidelity Victrola and the Mark 7 Stereo Orthophonic High Fidelity Victrola, one for $379.95 and the other for $149.95. Plus, at Roth's, they've got easy terms. Roth's handles your contract. They don't sell it to a bank or a finance company. That's Roth's. Now open till 9 p.m. tonight. Roth's in Superior. Lou?
Damage suits demanding $1.5 million on behalf of the families of two crew members lost in the Carl D. Bradley sinking were filed today in Detroit. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson has the story.
Bound for Manitowoc, Wisconsin to put up for the winter, the 640-foot Bradley encountered fierce gale winds on Lake Michigan November 18th of last year. Upbound from Gary, Indiana, the Bradley was struck by 65-mile-per-hour winds and 20-foot waves, breaking the freighter in half. Although First Mate Elmer Fleming was able to get off three Mayday calls, the ship sunk so quickly that none of the crew were able to get life rafts off the ship. Fleming and deck watchman Frank Mays were the only survivors, rescued the next morning by the Coast Guard cutter Sundew, clinging to a life raft which had broken away. 18 bodies were recovered last October, but 15 men remain lost from that crew of 35. Ironically, the Bradley, which was built 16 years ago in 1943, not only was making its last limestone delivery of the 1958 shipping season, it was supposed to lay up the week before, but the Bradley Transportation Company ordered her to make one more delivery of stone and then head in for a series of repairs in Manitowoc on its rusty hull. That was one trip too many for the ship and crew, Lou.
Sad story, Mike. Wisconsin's new interstate highway system assures that farmers, labor, and industry will benefit from the work, a state highway commission official told a Farm and Home Week audience in Madison. O.J. Hughes said in a talk that the state's 1959 road building program will bring rich economic benefit to Wisconsin, but will also spawn many problems in the process. Acquisition of the right-of-way for ultra-modern highways can create hostility for nearby property owners.
I love it when you end your newscast with hostility. That's that cool Lou Martin with the 6 o'clock news. It's going to be pretty cool on those super-duper highways. I hear we're going to be able to go 100 miles an hour and never have to stop in those babies.
If you go 100 miles per hour, you'll get stopped all right by the highway patrol. I believe speeds will be around 60 miles per hour, but you're right, they won't have any stop signs.
Hey, hang on for some cool tunes there, campers. The forecast for this Thursday night, January 29th, 1959, is cold, cold, and cold. It's supposed to get even colder this weekend. Light snow with temperatures around 10 below tonight, and a high tomorrow, a big 5 above. I'm spinning the disc and keeping it wide awake. Just 94 hours to go, and I'll be breaking all the records. So all you guys, dolls, cats, and kittens from the cream of the crop from the top of the pops, here's So Fine by the Fiestas.
So fine. So fine. So fine.
For the dance floor campers and camperettes, that's So Fine by the Fiestas. Not bad for a group discovered singing in the toilets of the Old Town Records building. Hey, any way you can get a captive audience works for me and the Fiestas.
Superior Senior Barber is putting down his scissors and razor and putting up his feet. Welcome, Albert Cadry.
Call me Shorty Lou. You always do when you get your ears lowered at my shop. In fact, you're looking rather in need of a good shearing.
I was just telling him he's looking more and more like a beatnik every day.
We're not going to talk about my personal grooming. Now, Mr. Cadre...
Shorty, like you and everyone has always called me since I put out my barber post 53 years ago. That's 1906, my friend.
Your story is extraordinary. You're not the run-of-the-mill Superior City barber.
No, no, I am not, Lou. I was born in Syria and came here in 1896 as a lad of just 15. I couldn't speak English, I couldn't write English, and I couldn't read English. And I am Muslim, too, so it was a strange, strange land to me. But America, she is great, great country. I love her, but she is different from my native Syria.
Different hairstyles, from turbans to crew cuts?
Goodness, barbering is a very personal thing to all men, Christian or Muslim. And you, son, you need a clipping. Yes, I can barely see your ears.
It's the new style these days.
Yes, yes, grease and wave, grease and wave. But you know, when I first started in North Dakota back in 1906, men wore their hair longer than they do today. And it stayed long when I moved to Superior in 1925. Those days it was 25 cents for a haircut and 10 cents for a shave. Then the hair got shorter and shorter by the time I opened my own shop in 1930. Some teenage boys only come in once a month instead of once a week. Men like a cut and a shave every week. And where have you been, Lou, my good friend?
Have you been seeing other barbers, Lou?
I have not been unfaithful.
Tell me you haven't looked at another barber. Go ahead, look me in the eye and tell me your eyes haven't wandered.
Is this true?
It's not true. And I can't think of any reason to stare at your face, Tim. Last time I did that, you winked at me.
I believe you, Lou. But you know, it is time to move on to another coiffure.
Lou's getting a Dear John from his barber live on the radio. He's holding up well, I must say.
I'm not losing my composure.
There, there. You must pull yourself together. My health isn't what it used to be. It is nothing personal. I'm ready to retire, that is all.
Maybe if I came to your house, you could give me a haircut.
Begging never helps in a relationship, Lou. Be strong.
Good luck, Mr. Albert Kadri.
He'll always be Shorty to you, Lou.
Wow. Tonight's show is turning into a regular Peyton Place. Lou cheating on his barber.
I did not cheat.
Then tries to go back to Shorty, but Shorty rejects him. Cool, cats, cool. Now, there goes my baby. These are the Drifters, just for Lou on KUWS. Soaring lead vocals, campers, and There Goes My Baby, new on the 1959 charts. Cronstrom Supper Club is open every day except on Mondays from noon until 1 a.m. Superior's premier supper club has fish fry night every Friday for just a buck. That's Cronstrom Supper Club at 33rd and Tower Avenue. And you guys, dolls, cats, kittens, and doggies, too. Everyone's talking about the winter dance party coming to the Duluth Armory Saturday night. We've got the lowdown on the Buddy Holly, Big Bopper, and Richie Valens headlining show. And we're going to be there with our own Machine Gun Rat-a-Tat Kelly, keeping you warmer by the door. He's here stacking his wax, getting ready to keep the campfire going, kiddies.
I can't find So Fine or There Goes My Baby.
Already played him, Big Gun.
You're always hogging the good wax, baby, but hey... There's going to be one swinging cool time at the Armory, but how come I'm outside and not in?
Something about WEBC emceeing the thing and our boss is too cheap to buy you a ticket.
Not cool, dog. Not cool.
I'll be cold, brother. Real cold. I'll lend you my Zippo.
Say, son, how goes the lack of shut-eye?
I got about 30 hours under my belt, another 96, and I'll break the 125-hour record set by Peter Tripp at WMGM in New York and Dave Hunter at WZRO in Jacksonville.
That's 200 hours, not 125 hours. They stayed up 200 hours.
Man, I was on cloud nine. Now I am frosted.
Sorry, cat. Later, alligator.
Much. Now it's So Fine by the Falcon.
You're so fine.
From the Lupine record label in Detroit, that's You're So Fine, featuring Eddie Floyd, Mac Rice, and Joe Stubbs with some great R&B for our R&R campers.
It looks like you could get a little R&R yourself, King Timothy. You're looking all tuckered out.
Yeah, I feel great. Fine, super duper. No sleeping dust from the ferry for me, Rapid Ray. where was I?
Before you blacked out, I have no idea. But at least... You don't need sleep.
Hey, lay some games on me, Big Ray.
Will do, King Timothy. And hello, fans of the sporting world. Horatius Cocles had a problem. Roman legend says so. The Etruscan army had a string of victories already in their pocket and was on the fringe of Rome. A slender bridge posed a bottleneck. Horatius had cause and spirit, and defense had he. Horatius at the bridge. If Horatius could have donned his tunic and added a numeral last night, he could have been suited up for the victorious Superior State College basketball quint. Shielded in the armor of a heads-up, ball-hawking yellow jacket defense, the University of Minnesota Duluth Branch Bulldogs were tacked with a 61-44 loss on its proud nose. A roaring overflow crowd jammed Gates Gym to witness the temporary exile of the Bulldog Menace by State Coach Carl Vergamini. Horatius would be proud of these gladiators. Okay, enough of the Roman Empire. Young Arnold Palmer stands out today as the choice to win the $30,000 San Diego Open. Palmer won the event the last time it was played 2 years ago in 1957 and won the Thunderbird Invitational in Palm Springs last Sunday. And, oh boy, fans, here's the big news. A fellow by the name of Vince Lombardi has agreed to take on the Green Bay Burden. Husky Vince Lombardi describes his decision to become the last place Packers head coach as a challenge. The 45-year-old Lombardi was the offensive coach for the New York Giants, but was hired yesterday as coach and general manager of our beloved Green and Gold. Lombardi says the Packers have a nucleus of good veterans, and he plans to build around those fellows. Playing in the National Football League's smallest city, the Pack has been in trouble for the past 10 years, plunging to the bottom of the Western Division last year. They managed just a single victory and one tie in 12 NFL games, the worst record in its proud history. The collapse brought the resignation of Ray Scooter McClain after just one season as head coach. The assignment is the first head coaching job for Lombardi since he was a high school coach. And fans, get a load of this. Lombardi only coached football to pay his way through law school. He never hung on his shingle, but now his name will be on the door of his office in the Packers locker room. Good luck, Coach Lombardi. This is Rabbit Ray Paulson reminding you that everyone loves a good sport. Timmy? Tim!
I'm up. No sleepy pie for this cowboy. No sirree, Cappers.
You've got a little something on the side of your mouth.
It's kind of drool-like. I hate that.
Attaboy. That's a good use for your sleeve.
How about some James Brown and Try Me, Cats and Kittens? And Try Me, You Guys, Dolls, Cats, and Kittens, a subdued James Brown on King Records, taking from that can't lose black gospel style.
Hey, man, it looks like you're going to nod.
Not gun. I'm on the stick.
Try some coffee.
Don't like Jabba, man.
Cigarette?
Don't blow the smoke, Rapid Ray. I quit that.
By the order of the fire marshal, after you set the studio garbage can on fire.
Maybe I'll just sip more of this warm cow.
That looks like a nice turkey sandwich you got there, too.
With gravy. Been working on that.
You know, that jock in New York had medical supervision when he went 200 hours without Z's.
Psychiatric supervision would be more like it for our boy.
You dudes are a wet rag. I'll get my second win.
Better play something that moves, man.
And get some toothpicks to hold your eyelids open.
You want to watch I Love Lucy tonight?
Oh, that'd be real fun, Timmy.
I hear that Fred and Ethel are coming over.
Fred's my favorite. He's radioactive.
He makes it 30 hours and conks out.
Pretty pathetic.
He'll get a stiff neck if he sleeps that way.
Well, he's kind of cute when he drools like that.
So we'll let him pile up some Z's and say goodnight, Timmy.
Hey, good night, Timmy and Fred and Ethel and Lucy and Ricky and Ozzie and Harriet. And
this sound is just right. This is the Spaniels. Good night, sweetheart.
Good night, sweetheart. When it's time to go. Good night, sweetheart. When it's time to go.
I hate to leave you, but I really must say.
Good night, sweetheart.
Good night, sweetheart. When it's time to go. Good night, sweetheart. When it's time to go. I hate to leave you, I really must say. Oh, good night, sweetheart. Good night. Well, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. Baby, I just can't get right. Well, I hate to leave you, baby. Don't mean maybe, because I love you so. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. I hate to leave you, I really must say. Oh, good night, sweetheart. Good night, mother. Oh, and your father like it if I stay here too long. One kiss in the dark and I'll be going. You know I hate to go. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. Good night, sweetheart. Well, it's time to go. I hate to leave you, I really must say. Oh, good night, sweetheart. Good night.
Been listening to Radio Superior 1959, an original production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Performances for tonight's show are by John Munson and Pat Kelly. All events reported on Radio Superior 1959 are actual accounts from the Superior Evening Telegram and Duluth Herald. This is your announcer, Mark Snow, speaking. Good night.